signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps. They'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe.
Welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse, and Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and everywhere else you find the show. I've got retired Colonel Mike Ford, managing editor of American Free News Network, with us. But before we move on, I want to tell everybody you got about 30 minutes left to enter the drawing to win a copy of one of my three books. I'm going to be drawing to give them away, one of each. Here in the next half hour, 45 minutes, you enter the drawing at liberty-lighthouse.com and click on the win a book button right at the top of the homepage there, liberty-lighthouse.com. Get your name in the hat within the next 45 minutes, and you got a pretty good chance of winning a book. And we're going to do this again next week, too. So if you're listening on, say, Mojo 50 Radio, and you're listening on Saturday, and you're thinking, dang it, I missed it, well, you still go in there, put your name in the hat. I'm going to do it again next week, too. All right, Colonel Ford. Tell me why the people out there listening should be going to AFNN.us every day.
Well, because we are a citizen-driven network. Some time ago, a bunch of retired military folks, some folks out of the intel community, and some folks out of business got tired of being censored by Facebook and Twitter and the other Hitler youth, and formed a company called American Free News Network. And the board of directors, in the most singular case of just bad judgment I've ever seen in my life, made me the CEO and managing editor. I don't know what they were thinking.
Well, you've got two titles.
Well, yeah. Ooh. And you've seen my corner office, so you know what that looks like.
I don't know. If you're the CEO and the managing editor, you must be just raking in some cash.
I am. Well, the CEO makes one piece, and then the managing editor makes another piece, and together, you know, they both make the same thing. And when you double that, you get the same thing, because I make zero for one, zero for the other, times two is zero. Okay. Everybody on the site is a volunteer. Actually, I think they have to pay me like $1 a year to be the CEO as an employee or whatever. There's some rules or whatever. But the only people that are getting paid on the site are the psychopath that we hired down in South Florida that runs the back end and the ones and zeros that make the website actually work, and some folks that actually help us promote the articles that we do. But all the writers are volunteers. I'm essentially a volunteer, and my deputy editor is a volunteer. The reason you should go to AFNN is because AFNN.us is because we're not throttled. We are not a censor platform. What we are is an organization that teaches civics, whether it's from the Sam Adams end of talking about what's going on day to day and why it's wrong, to the John Adams end where we're talking about the principles that undergird the Constitution and enable you to hold a conversation with your idiot sister-in-law over Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. And we are always looking for citizen writers. So you can hit me at managing editor at AFNN.us, managing editor at AFNN.us. Send me a note. We would love to publish whatever you want to write. We're all about the citizen writer. It's a matter of getting citizens to have their voices heard, as opposed to the pundits that you see on the TV that are telling you stuff that just ain't true.
And your standards for writers must not be very high, because you've published several of my articles.
So. Actually, you're one of our better writers. You actually do pretty well. I got to admit. I hate to admit it, but because, you know, I don't really like you that much. But, you know, you do a really good job when you write.
Yeah, I don't know about that. anyway, I want to talk about that thing you're drinking there. You got yourself a drink smoker.
I do. I do. Let me tell you what I just got back from. This last weekend, I went up to Kentucky to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. You should know this because you're one of our fellow travelers, but American Free News Network has a number of folks we consider fellow travelers. No money changes hands. We don't do any of that. It's just people that we believe espouse our values. So your show and your writings espouse our values. Well, some other folks that espouse our values are the David Webb Show, who's on Sirius XM 125 every day from 9 to noon Central. I'm sorry, 9 to noon Eastern time. And another group is Deployment Cigars, who sell cigars for profit, and then they take the profits and give a chunk of them to charities that involve military and first responders. So we went up to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. And I hate to admit this, and I hope there's not a whole lot of witnesses here. For the whole weekend, I didn't drink a drop. But we were busy selling cigars and talking to David Webb and just talking about Americanism and a whole bunch of things. And one of the things I learned up there was how to do a smoker in your bourbon just to make it taste delicious.
Yeah, I got one of those for Christmas and like four different little things of different kinds of wood chips. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it great?
But wait a minute. You were in Bourbon County, Kentucky for multiple days.
I was.
And did not.
Corniche. Zero. Zebla. Zip. None.
Wow. That's some willpower.
It was. It was terrible. That's why I'm trying to make up for it now. By the way, let me go over and get my bottle.
So anyway, during the break, the colonel ran off camera to get himself a little bit more bourbon, and he came back, and I noticed that, for one, he's using whiskey stones in his glass, so not ice, you know, frozen little frozen rocks to keep his whiskey cold, and then he put a smoker on top of it. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I have my my whiskey smoker. I haven't used it in quite a while. Now that I think about it, I'm going to have to dig it back out.
You should. And you know, when you go to buy wood chips for your smoker that you're going to smoke your brisket or whatever, you can pick up all the chips that you need and carve your own, as opposed to paying $20 for a little tin about this big.
Yeah.
You could go make your own for about two. You
know. Well, most of my family apparently, they know me. And this last Christmas season, my 30-year-old daughter bought me a rocks glass that has a indentation in the side of the rocks glass.
Yep.
So I can hold my whiskey and my cigar in one hand without crushing my cigar.
We were actually selling those at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
My beautiful wife got me one of them there drink smokers with four of those little tins of four different kinds of wood to smoke with it.
You should marry her again.
And let's see what else. Some of my customers on my mail route gave me cigars. My best friend at work gave me a couple of really nice cigars, like nicer ones that I would buy for myself. So everybody who really knows me either really likes me or wants me to die a slow, painful death from cancer and alcoholism, one of the two.
That's all right. I can think of worse ways to die.
Now, you know, we were talking about, you know, American Free News Network and articles there, and I'm trying to think. I think I'm up. I think I have I'm hoping. I think I have a an article that's going to post tomorrow. If not, then I have fallen behind. But I'm trying to check that all too many things at once.
All right. Well, I have one coming up tomorrow, and it will post at 9 o'clock Eastern time, the continuing politicization of military officers. Now, it's a redux with a little addendum on the front talking about Austin and Milley. But, you know, one of the things that has gained the respect of the American public for the military, especially post-Vietnam, where it was not there, is that the military was going to follow the Constitution, wasn't going to be political, and was going to get the job done. And we started gaining some of that respect with Grenada. That was kind of like preseason. And then we went and did some other things, and that worked out. And then we went to Desert Storm. That was kind of like the Super Bowl. And the military got its respect back. And when we went to Iraq, you know, we did what we needed to do. When we went to Afghanistan, we did what we needed to do as a military. It wasn't until the Bushies and their nation building, and then, of course, Obama, and then, of course, Biden, you know, kind of tore everything apart. Our military is in a bad way right now. It's been decades of war. I mean,
decades and decades and decades.
My team crossed the berm from Kuwait into Iraq over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Our military has yet to recover from all the things that we had to do there. And then our political leaders are making it even worse because we are focusing on things like, well, you know, I woke up this morning and I don't think I'm a guy, even though I have the equipment for a guy. I think I'm a girl. Well, how is that going to win a war with China, who, I'm telling you, when they fight wars, they don't care about human life, their own even.
That's okay? What a war
is. My father was there in Korea and watched bodies stacked up like cordwood. They don't care. We keep judging our adversaries on our metrics. Okay, we care about human life. We care enough that we want to let people live this, that, and the other. The Chinese don't care about that. They don't care about your pronouns. They will kill you, D-E-D, dead, which is seriously killed.
Hey, like I said in my first book, when I was serving, I didn't care if the guy next to me thought he was a transgendered purple aardvark, as long as he did his job and had my back. I don't really care. But that doesn't mean that the military should be catering to them either.
Yeah. And most folks in the military believe that as long as there's some ambiguity. If somebody is a declared homosexual, we don't want them showering with us. If there's ambiguity there, then it's okay. But once the ambiguity is gone, then you run into some severe problems. Basically, Democrat policies have created 27 additional sexes, and as a commander, you can't manage that when you're trying to manage housing. You can't manage it.
No, there's two. You can say whatever you want. There's two, and even if you want to say, okay, there are 27 other genders.
No,
bathrooms, and housing, and everything else is done by sex, not gender. So,
that's right. Gender is a social thing,
right?
And it has to do with mostly with language studies. There are two biological sexes. Right. There's male and female. Any ambiguity is an aberration. When we use the term gender, what we are doing is assisting the leftists. Never ever use gender except in scare quotes and to poke them in the chest.
Always it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, it's the people that are promoting the. I don't know how else to say it, but those that are promoting the transgendered agenda, that are the ones who said that gender is a social construct, and gender and sex are two different things.
They are.
Okay. So if gender and sex are two different things, you know, when I fill out a job application, it says sex. It doesn't say gender. Your driver's license, it says sex, not gender.
Yes.
Your birth certificate says sex, not gender.
If you gender wake up in the morning, if you
gender
wake up
shouldn't
in the morning,
matter for anything.
That's right. If you wake up in the morning and believe that your biological sex is different than your chromosomes, DNA, and OEM indicate, there's something wrong with you. It's that simple. That's not bigoted. That's called science.
OEM.
Well, that's the best way I can put it. You know?
Right. We've got somebody in the chat room over here that's being a little argumentative with us, says that we're being bigots. And imagine serving in the armed forces and being this fragile. Well, we both served in the armed forces, and there's nothing fragile about it. It's facts. It's biology. It's 6,000 years of human biology versus the last, 30 years of gender fluid psychotherapy nonsense. Sex is sex. Gender is gender, according to you. So what's the...
Gender is used in language studies. My Her Majesty Queen Teresa is started out as a Spanish teacher and then ended up as a high school principal. Gender studies are, Spanish language has three genders: male, female, and neuter. Okay, but that's not biology. The human species has two sexes, male and female. Anything other than that is an aberration. It's just that simple. It's called science.
Yeah. I just use their own terminology. They're the ones who say that gender and sex are different.
Yeah.
So just use sex. It's not women's sports. It's female sports.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Hey, we got Reb in Colorado on line one. Welcome to the show, Reb. Reb. Well, maybe we don't have Reb in Colorado. Anyway. I managed to look up. I have an article posting on my own site here tomorrow, as usual, Friday, 6 a.m. I don't remember if I have submitted it to you yet.
Well, send it. Need more good stuff from you.
All right. Well, the one that I have going up tomorrow, I just accidentally closed it out and I can't read the title of it, but it's something to the effect of our founders' fears, how our government has turned into exactly what our founding fathers were afraid of.
Well, yeah. And that doesn't surprise me a bit, given how people try to look at things now, and they try to, somebody told me one time, I forget who it was somebody smarter than I am, which isn't a very high bar. It says, if you're having to explain it for an hour, you're probably doing it wrong, you know, because most simple truths are just that simple. Water is wet. What is it? What is Bruce Willis said in The Last Boy Scout? Water is wet and women have secrets or whatever, simple truisms.
I don't remember that one, but anyway, I want everybody to check out the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. I haven't gotten a whole lot of work done on it lately, but there's about 18 hours worth of courses from Institute on the Constitution there that I have managed to put together. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom is what it's called. Go to liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom. There are two full courses and a third one that I'm in the process of working on. So right now there's about 18 hours worth of courses that you can take there. And one of them is free to a pastor. So if you're a pastor and you want to take one of the courses for free, just contact me, hit the chat button right there on the website. I'll give you a special code to get you into the course for free. And Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. This is actually my passion, is teaching. I'd love to find a way to quit the radio, quit the weekly article, book writing, or the book writing and the article writing and do teaching. I'd love to find a way to just teach the Constitution and make enough money to live on. But I don't have a big enough name. I don't have a giant following.
I don't have a big enough name yet.
Well, I've been doing this show for like 5 years, and I've still got the same 24 people that listen to me. Anyway, it looks like our caller Reb is back online. Reb, are you there?
Yeah, I was here before. I guess we lost the audio for U.S. Pentagon First Team Bubba Scout Reb. Remember, your fate depends on you. 703-697-9121. We don't call in because we're bored. We want to win a war, and America's at war. Have you got a problem with the war America's fighting, or are you not sure we're at war? I don't know. Either you have a problem that we're fighting a war in America, or you don't know we're having a war in America.
It hasn't turned into a kinetic war yet.
Wait, hold on. How do you know that? It is a kinetic war. People are getting murdered every day. That's what we found out, turned over to the Defense Intelligence Agency, and they don't do favors for anybody. They took it to JAG and the Joint Chiefs because we got evidence. Just because you don't hear about the murders going on, generals are telling us, gee, more people are dying every year than they died in World War II from this fentanyl. What did you think was? That's a murder. That's killing people. They do it with this dope. You didn't see the bomb drop, so you didn't know that was their kill. They have millions of ways to kill. I exaggerate.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. Fentanyl is killing roughly 100,000 people a year. That is more people than, all of Vietnam and more
what
people.
What about the virus needles? Oh, you forgot about them already.
Nobody forgot about any of this stuff. Reb, settle down, my friend. Nobody forgot about it. Just because some group of idiots is pushing something that happens to kill people, that's been going on forever.
Well, that's vaccines why we're at war. People. One more thing. The border's overrun. That doesn't happen in P-C time. I can't even say the word. You don't have overrun borders when there's no instability.
Okay, so what are we doing? Totally what's your suggestion?
Fight back. I don't know. Who thought of that? Let me see. It must have been, Bubba goes back to the early days of ancient civilization and the Greeks. They said, what do we do here? We're going to fight back. And then the arms race started.
Define fight back. Define fight back. Because everybody thinks they're fighting. There are people that, like me, that write books and articles and do radio shows, and we think we're fighting for the cause of freedom.
Well, hold on. They had those people back then, too. And they wrote their little sermons or whatever on the little parchment or chiseled them in a rock. They didn't fight the war. They had people with spears, and then the latest,
if it wasn't for those people,
they had a war program, and they had a development program, and they had an arms race. They really were fighting, marching around, killing each other with swords. We're still at that level, and you don't understand it. What you're doing is what authors do, what balladeers do, or whatever.
Uh-huh. Okay, if it wasn't for people like me, let's say during the American Revolution, if it wasn't for the Black Robe regiments and the people writing the pamphlets and the newspapers and all that other kind of stuff, there never would have been an American Revolution.
The Sam Adamses, the John Adamses, Thomas Paines, all of them. That's correct.
First of all, that's not what was fighting the war. You're getting out of order.
But that's what got the war going. Hey, Reb, it's break time. Colonel, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me this evening. You go spend some time with your beautiful wife. I'll see you next month. Reb, if you want to stay on the line, you can. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you later.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Gilad Atzman says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS. This woman, she's like, oh, yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of tonight's show. I'm Peter Serafine. This is National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network. There are 11 people that have entered to win a copy of one of my three books. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to fill out the form. Go to liberty-lighthouse.com, fill out the win a book form. I'm going to give away one copy of each of my three books in just a couple of minutes. And you need to put your name in that hat at liberty-lighthouse.com and click the win a book button right at the top of the homepage there. Going back to the phones, we still have Reb, who held through the break. Reb, thanks for holding through the break.
I still held on. That was nice of me. Let's go back to why we're the Pentagon's first team. We did recon. We're not permitted under regulation. It says civilians prohibited direct participation, armed conflict. We can't do that. We sit back in the bunker and watch. We point at the target. We can overlay grid maps with GPS. And that's what we do. We did the recon, and we found out more information that we didn't have to. So now the Pentagon and all these agencies are getting advanced intel they never would have gotten, because only we can call out radio stations and talk about killing the enemy inside America. Nobody else can, because they're under jurisdiction Justice Department. We're under jurisdiction military, so they can't interfere with us. That's a crime. They're not allowed 911 and their associates they can't interfere. So we go moving forward and found out in textbooks that's already been written, Soviet Colorado, we call it, is worse to the white race than North Korea. We'll testify to that. They murder and steal and cover up. And the only thing keeping these 911 bastard lowlife traitors enemies is the U.S. Department of Defense is not following through on the law. And that's why you can't sue the Pentagon. We ordered the right parts. They didn't deliver them. But we have to give out 703-697-9121. And you keep calling and rattling it. That's what we're doing. But we don't have a choice. We're sitting here, and if they show up with troops, Bubba will do the talking. And Bubba reads narrative, summary, overview, and correlates it to operations order before they're done. He can give them a PowerPoint. They did this.
You're absolutely right that you know, hundreds of 100,000 people or so a year are dying from fentanyl, which is coming in from China and being allowed in through the southern border by the guy in the White House. You're right that there's that there are these.
Know half of the story. I'm trying to explain.
Everybody knows that. Reb, hold on. My point is, nobody's going to call it a war until the troops are in the street. If I can't walk out with a gun and start shooting people, then nobody's going to call it a war.
Okay, they won't call it that. We're ahead of things. But we get the truth here. Bubba talks it over. Like, I didn't know that the Navajo Redskin Reservation in the Four Corners has a business office of the drug cartels until I accidentally got them on the phone. I said, where are you from? She said her name was Terry. We're on the Navajo Reservation, Four Corners, Arizona, which is a couple hundreds of miles north of the border. And I said, well, everyone's drunk here. They have a big problem. And fentanyl is big, and heroin. And I said, well, what are you doing? She said, well, the drug cartels have a business office. I said, what? And I said, the Pentagon, I told them, what are you? Well, they have their own, force there. They have their own patrol. They're like federal agents, but it's on a military reservation.
Yeah.
And the Department of War says, well, that's okay. No, it's not. They're allowing this inside America. You didn't know. I didn't. Now, there's pockets inside America that are set up with enemy activity, and we're hearing more and more. Wait a second. I dialed this number. Who are you? We work with the Chinese communists.
I was just going to bring up is there's like entire battalions of Chinese army in Canada, like along the northern border.
Forget Canada.
We've allowed all this stuff to happen. We the people, the John Q. public of the world, have taken our eyes off government, allowed them to do whatever they want, and for too long. And well, this is what happens: is they do whatever they want. Reb, I got people starting to call in and pile up behind you, so I'll give you just a couple seconds to make a wrap-up statement, if you could.
Call that number. Make us do our job. We're not backbinders for the damn Pentagon. They're supposed to work for you and us. 703-697-9121. Demand Bubba Scout Reb. Keep talking our name, because unlike Q, we exist. And I gave out numbers. If Q had given out phone numbers, I would have dialed them. But they didn't, because they didn't exist. And they're still talking about Q and the 6th of January, 2021. Well, who cares? That means nothing. Telling us about what's coming means nothing. Telling us about events of history means nothing. We're at war now. 703-697-9121. Demand Bubba Scalper. For one thing, I won't be on your radio program. We'll be busy. And Bubba will be taking over. So I'm not going to make phone calls. We're going to make enemies dead. That's who we want to do.
And all we'll right,
be in the, unless they let us push buttons, we like that. Hey, Bubba got to nuke Seattle yesterday. It's my turn. I want to nuke Butte, Montana. I'll even pick a smaller target. I don't care. I like to push buttons, too. It's not fair. She's a war hog, and everybody should share the warfare experience, even in the bunker. but we can't be in direct participation in armed conflict. To make us do our job, we'll set things straight. We'll get three-core. We're in three-core country here in Colorado. Fort Hood, well, it's not Fort Hood anymore. Fort Carson. Maybe they changed Fort Riley's name. But that's three-core, and we got gunships and everything. Let the enemy resist. It's okay. Let anyone get in the way. Swell! Everybody gets to be equal in this one. Equally dead if you're in the way, but that's good, okay?
All right, Reb. I'm going to let you go.
Otherwise, kiss your you-know-what.
That's enough. Thank you, Reb. We got a chat, a Facebook chat comment that says, Reb is hilarious, very funny. Yeah. It is what it is. Hey, this is a live call-in show. If you'd like to call in, like Reb from Colorado just did, it's 512-248-8252. And if you'd rather just text me, you can do that at 646-974-4487. That way you don't have to get your voice on the radio. Let's see. Last call. Go to liberty-lighthouse.com. Click the win a book button. And we're going to do some drawings here in just a minute. I got three books, one copy of each of the three books that I've written that I'm going to give away for free to three different people. Liberty-lighthouse.com. Click the win a book button. Gregory in, is that California or Georgia? Line three.
California, unfortunately. California. Although Georgia just is, every place is getting it is dystopically.
I'm just old and blind, and I couldn't read the little chat. I couldn't tell if there was a little tail on that C, or if my, you know, maybe my monitor's dirty.
Are you familiar with Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars, or Silent Weapon for Quiet Wars, that expose?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's pretty much what's going on right now in relation to what Reb has been trying to expound. And it's been going on for eons, I suppose. But are you familiar, Peter, with Michael Gaddy?
Yes.
What do you glean from his knowledge?
I agree with some of what he says, and I don't agree with others' things that he says. It's just like anybody else. You know, I'm my own man. I think for myself. And in some ways we think alike, in other ways we don't.
Well, I'm just getting back to the Revolutionary War and his documentations and papers and letters and writings that he's so eloquently has pronounced. And it got me, even before that, I was expounding my two-party systems that I want to, I'm advertising them now. The first one is Articles of Confederation Party, because if we had the Articles of Confederation instead of this lawyer-made Rothschild-inspired constitution, and the Articles of Confederation actually put the king down to his knees to say, okay, enough's enough, let's do this. And then they had this convention with a bunch of lawyers that didn't represent the people at the time, sit around in a hot building for 56 days or whatever to iron this moronic thing out, which a bunch of people like Patrick Henry just walked out of in disgust. Yeah. Because it wasn't getting anywhere. So that's got to tell you a lot about what's going on right then and in itself. And then if you look at the Treaty of Versailles or whatever it was that was passed, you know, with King George and the colonies, it's like it gave King George carte blanche. We were just subjects again. I mean, it doesn't take a mental genius to figure this out, and I've only got a ninth grade education, and so it's so dystopic that we've been so...
This is one of the things that I disagree on. This is where we just, you know, I think the Articles of Confederation were good, but they were also leaving, you know, rebellion in the streets of the country, states printing money that and wiping out fake debt with inflation. And there was some problems with the Articles of Confederation. we were almost on the brink of fracturing as a nation at the under the Articles of Confederation. And oh, by the way, most of the people
that
also, by the way, you said about the lawyers drawing up the Constitution. Most of the people that drafted the articles were lawyers as well.
Yeah.
Where we are now is we the people have ignored our government for too long. We don't teach the Constitution. We don't. John Q. Public doesn't know the Constitution, and we've allowed the government to do all of this nonsense. Had we stuck to the 4,500 words of the Constitution, we'd be in a much better place. But we didn't.
Well, and they teach us just those fairy tales that they come up with about these so-called founding fathers and how
right. And they take God out of everything.
They were, and you know, some guy cuts down a cherry tree, another guy comes in and saves everybody from slavery, and then Woodrow Wilson, he comes in and just does a magnificent job at you know, giving us the Federal Reserve, World War One, and of course you
right.
got good old Rosenbelt to you know, exasperated the whole deal and gave us you know, the all the administrative states that we have right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't talk that in school. It's just like they don't talk about the, you know, the abridged version of the Constitution that the federal government is actually running under, rather than the 4,500 words that we were given. They go by this big giant stack of crap bound together through Supreme Court nonsense.
Well, yeah, hey, it's you go. Divide and conquer, right? You got your nose in a book looking at all these Supreme Court cases and statutes and all this other minutia, you're not focusing on the real game, the real ball, what's really going on in your precious moments at this exact time.
Well,
and so you're off in
I think it was the 1930s, and I could be wrong about the year, but Harvard Law School said that they're not going to teach the Constitution anymore. They're going to teach case law. Well, case law is somebody's opinion. You can't, it's like a game of telephone. This judge said this, and then this judge said this, and then this judge said this, and here we are 80 years later, 100 years later, and we don't even know, nobody's ever gone back to read the Constitution itself to see what it actually says. That's how our entire government operates now. Hey, Gregory, do me a favor.
But what it says and what it means are two different things, because law and what we perceive as the verbiage, you know, Webster Dictionary is a lot different than Black's Law Dictionary or Ballantyne's 1898
right.
Dictionary, right?
So
we're speaking Babylonia. We're speaking Babel because we don't define every word that we speak. In order for you and me to have a real heart-to-heart, down-to-earth conversation, I've got to know exactly your definition of exactly every word that you expound so that we can be on the same playing field. This is something I've been trying to get across to folks, but we don't do anymore because we're all taught different things at different times because of this wonderful 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, you know, government-controlled school poopy.
That's not 10th. That's like 2nd. but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. It is what it is. It's what they've... I mean, we've developed all 10 planks, and then we've developed the worst parts of the fascist and the worst parts of the communist. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're communitarian, as Lark from Texas would say. Society.
When it comes to definitions of the time, I personally prefer Webster's 1828 dictionary because it was written for that purpose. If you've ever seen, I don't have a printed copy anymore. I need to get another one. But in the like preface of the Webster's 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster wrote, he made this dictionary so that we would understand our founding documents in history. He knew that the meanings of words changed. He wrote that dictionary so that future generations could read the founding documents and know what they meant. That was the purpose of his dictionary.
Yeah, but the words that he expounded then have been turned upside down and bent around to mean whatever.
It's just like well-regulated militia. It's, you know, what the word regulated doesn't mean what it means today versus what it means then, which is why anytime you're reading the Constitution or the Declaration, you need to go to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary to look for the definitions. Regulated at that time meant working regularly, practiced, on schedule. Hey, Gregor.
Yeah, good call. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hang on. Wait before you go. I would like you to pick three numbers between 1 and 14.
3, 6, 9.
So let's see here. That would be Declan O'Shea, Steve Kenyon, and Peter Laub. Those are the three winners of free books for this week. And let's see here. We'll do them in chronological order. We'll give Declan Progress, Really, my first book. And then we'll give Steve Kenyon my second book, So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand. And then Peter Laub is the winner of A More Tyrannical King, the book that just came out last week. Thank you very much for helping me pick those winners.
Hold on 1 minute there. I don't think a politician can comprehend anything that might be coming out of anybody's mouth because they're so involved in their me, Nazi, what can I get out of this deal type thing.
Let me tell you a little bit about that book, So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand, Simple Ideas for Seemingly Complex Political Issues. This book is a collection of about a dozen ideas that have either come from me or from guests of this show. And they are all really simple ideas that would go a long way to fixing really complex problems, one of which is, you know, one bill, one topic, which at the time was H.R. 46. Now it's H.R. 91 because it still hasn't passed. One bill, one topic, meaning any bill that goes through.
That would be kind of fun and original, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Who ever thought of that one? In limited terms, I mean, that's what the Articles of Confederation was. We ain't going to serve no more than X, Y, Z, and that's. Get out of here. Let's get some new ideas. And that's what the convention was supposed to be, was just let's just fine-tune the Articles of Confederation to make it work economically.
Right. And then they got together.
They distorted and perverted and corrupted the whole darn thing, and that's why we're in the position that we're in right now.
But one of the problems was, you needed a unanimous vote in order to make any change to the Articles of Confederation. You can't get 13 people together to agree on anything. So how are you going to fix it?
We don't need more laws, because when you make laws, you take away freedom. Laws take man-made laws.
But the states were taking away the freedom under the Articles of Confederation. The states were taking away the freedom, not the federal government. The states were doing it because there was nothing the federal government could do to stop them. The states were going through and printing so much money that it became worthless, and the rich people, you know, didn't bother them, but all the poor people, look, now I got even less.
Well, so it was up to the poor folks to come up with their own currency and screw the rich folks out of whatever kind of tripe that they were.
And how do you do that when the government controls the currency? How do you do that when the state government controls the currency?
Well, the state doesn't have to. Every county can control their own currency, and they can all be
not if the state passes a law and says that you can't. What was going on under the article.
That was the people's fault for letting them do that kind of crap. That's another law that's color of law, not real law. Real law is objective law, like you were talking about before. Man-made law is a color of law. It's whatever he makes up whenever he makes it up. And so when you deal with those two, one's diametrically opposed to the other, and I don't know, the law you follow is the master you follow, and if you want to follow man-made law, you know, more power to you. I follow natural law, and I stick on that plane, and I try to stay sane, and I don't vote.
All right. I'm going to let you go, Gregory. I got another caller coming in, and I'm running up to the great.
Much love. Be well.
Appreciate your call, as always. We got Romeo in Montreal, the first international caller of the night. On line five, welcome to the show, Romeo.
Yes, hello, Peter. I heard the beginning of your program, and I was going to talk about the how the elections could be changed. There is a foundation in the United States that recommends that the government give all potential voters a subsidy of $200 to give to their favorite candidate. I think it would be more fair that way, because in one way or the other, in this system, the government reimburses industry or business 75% of what they contribute. So if the government is going to contribute to these very wealthy organizations, they could subsidize the people, and it would be much fairer system of the elections. But I want to say two other things here, because I was shocked. You were talking about fentanyl coming into the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite aware, I assume, that during this Iran-Contra situations, crack cocaine was being exchanged for arms for the Contras.
Mm-hmm. And just like the poppy plants in Vietnam being run by heroin or whatever it was in Vietnam that was being smuggled around by the CIA to help fund stuff. Yeah, it's all... Exactly. Nasty stuff, yeah.
Now, you said something shocking. I've never heard of this, that China has an army in Canada. I've never heard this before. But even if you are correct, and I don't know, but I'd like to ask you this question. How many countries in the world have the United States basins on their soil?
Too many. I don't know the answer to the question, but too many.
So in other words, China might have one. As a matter of fact, the military bases, I think they only have one in the world. The United States, you know, President Putin put it very well. Take a globe, twirl it around, and put your finger on it, and most likely there's an American base there.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what I want to say.
Yeah, I can't remember. My source for the Chinese people in Canada was it was a guest on Americanuck Radio. Mike Phillip is the show host. Americanuck is the name of his show.
And this is the Chinese army, you say?
Yeah, yeah. There were.
What is his name?
Mike Phillip is the show host name, but it was a guest to his show, and it was a military guest, a colonel or something. I don't remember. It's been a while. The show is American Uck. He's an American living in Canada, and his show is American Uck, like American Canuck.
Honest to God, I've never seen any Chinese military personnel. One of the largest cities in Canada. I've never seen anything like. I've seen Japanese soldiers during the time of Expo 67 in full uniform, but I've never seen Chinese. There are a lot of Chinese people. A lot of immigrants came from China.
A note from my producer here, John Moore, who has a show here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, has been saying that the Chinese army has been in Canada for almost 2 years.
Really, eh? Does he know where in Canada?
He may have. I don't know, but he might. But Romeo, I have to let you go. Thank you very much for your
call. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I am about out of time for the evening. I want to thank you all for registering to try to win a free book this week, and I will do it again next week. So please keep registering. Hit the Win a Book button at the top of liberty-lighthouse.com, and I will we'll do it again next week. I'll give away one of each book again live on air on Thursday the 28th. If you want to come back and listen then, to listen to it live, get it live. In the meantime, while you're at liberty-lighthouse.com, click around. Check out the article I write every week. It posts on Friday morning. That's on the blog page at liberty-lighthouse.com. Feel free to click around the shop. I've got some pretty cool t-shirts and bumper stickers and stuff like that that you can buy to support the show, as well as vitamins and things, kinds of fun stuff. I do want to say, right to bear insurance, whether we're at war now or whether we're going to be at war soon. Well, you need carry insurance. If you own a firearm, you need carry insurance, because every time you use a firearm today, somebody's trying to put you in jail. So go to protectwithbear.com and use code LIGHTHOUSE, and I'll save you 10% off. And it starts at $11 a month. So 10% off is like a month free. That's protectwithbear.com. Use code LIGHTHOUSE. Everybody needs carry insurance. Hey, it's been great. I got to cut this short. God bless America. Protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. Peace.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.